Welcome to I'm Not Lost Podcast. A little Sonny Rude take us in there. Smooth sounds of Sonny Rude on 98.4 The Rocker. This is Dan, the man, some might say. And we're going to take you to Nepal today. I got my trusty sidekick here, Rachel.
Namaste.
Namaste. Of course, namaste. She's trying to be a local like me. I speak the language, however, fluently. I can say namaste, and I think I remember how to say, can I have a beer, please? So pretty much a local, and we're going to tell you about Nepal. Nepal, some basic facts. There is about 29 million people living in Nepal, about the size of Arkansas, for those of you here in America. You can picture that if you've been to that state. Majority Hindu, about 80%, and then maybe the other, about 10% would be... Buddhist,
I believe.
And then there's a little bit of, you know, 4 or 5% Muslim and some other religions from there. The capital city being Kathmandu, and the money is Nepalese rupee. So we weren't able to use our Indian rupees. You had to make sure you get the Nepalese rupees. They're a little bit different. They're really cool. You definitely want to save one because they got a picture of Mount Everest on them. So that's kind of neat. On our trip, we went to just 3 cities on this trip. It was not too long of a trip, about a week. We started in Kathmandu, where most people will start. The international airport will fly you in there, and then we traveled to Pokhara and then finished in Chittawan National Park. So we'll start off with some basic facts. Did we need a visa to enter the country?
Yes, we did. We got it upon arrival, though. We didn't have to do anything beforehand. We got to the kiosk there right when we came in from Oman, and... It was about $25 each. They had these brand new kiosks. You just scan your passport just like we do in the U.S. and just took a few moments.
Yeah, so make sure you get that. You'll need to get that e-visa as soon as you land. Or I guess that's just a visa at this super new little quick terminal that you're able to figure out. I'm not the most tech savvy, but with a little help, I was able to figure it out as well. What about English? Were you able to get by with English?
I think so. There were several tour guides, everybody at the hotel. A few locals, they could speak English pretty well with you.
Yeah, tourism is a huge thing here, and English is one of the languages that they come together on to speak to people from around the world. So don't let your fact that you don't know Nepali scare you off. You'll get by with English just fine. Just learn a couple of the words. Hello, thank you, where is this, where is that? And I think you'll get by. What about the weather? How was the weather? We were there in August. Tell us about it.
It was definitely very, very hot and humid, and it did rain several mornings and evenings. It was a rain season, unfortunately for us.
Yeah. So real short, brief rains, real quick ones that would just cool it off and kind of, you know, dampen the dust a little bit. A couple overnight ones, though, were quite heavy rains, but, you know, when we woke up, about, you know, still raining at 6 a.m., but by, you know, 8 a.m., the rains were all gone. There was nice, cool afternoon for us. So don't let the August scare you off. Some people said it's too hot. I found with just some breathable clothing, like Under Armour type clothing, you were able to get by. And also just a quick note too, there is a lot of temples you'll be visiting. So do make sure that if you're a man, you have your pants, your shorts at least go past your knees. You know, it's tough for me to give up a bro tank for the week, but I had to do it because I had to have my shoulders covered. And females as well, make sure you're able to cover that so you can make sure you get to see all the temples and visit all the temples. And there's a lot, let me tell you. So what about as far as the cost? Cheap, expensive, what?
I found that it was very cheap. We could go to a nice restaurant, like a nice one, and maybe pay $4 for our meal with a drink.
Yeah, beer was maybe, you know, get a local beer, Gurkha, which is a really good one. That was maybe $1 to $2 max for a beer. Some cheap street food, maybe some momos for $1. In our hotel, we stayed at a really nice hotel. As far as a guest house, I guess you'd call it, but for, I think it was $50, we had a really nice hotel in a good location and included breakfast every morning. So I definitely would keep it for you budget travelers out there. You know, we like to at least give you some tips on how to do things cheap. And this country is one that we would recommend for those of you who are not the most rich folks out there. So definitely don't let that scare you either. It's quite cheap. What else? Was it a walkable city, Kathmandu?
It was definitely walkable. We stayed in the Tamil area, which was very easy to walk around in.
Yeah. I would highly recommend that. We stayed in the Tamil area, which is basically the backpacker area. And how did we get there? We landed in the evening. We got through. It's just a teeny little airport. Takes just a couple minutes to get through. And you're there. You got your bags. And then there's a little place that you're able to cash your money right there and get your taxi. So there was a prepaid taxi stand. We paid for that. The guy somehow had a friend that jumped along in the front seat and was able to talk us into going to his tour guide on the way home. Just one visit. And he said he'll just show us a couple of tours. And then we didn't sign up for anything, but just enjoyed a nice cup of tea and made our way to the Tamil district. You'll notice too on the drive that the roads are atrocious. They're so bad. Potholes everywhere. The alignment in every taxi must be off because of these roads. I don't know if they've ever been paved. They're just like once paved, but then now almost dirt roads. So they're really teeny little alleys that back in the Tamil area that you're walking. Sometimes two cars would be too wide to fit down them. So but I would highly recommend if you're a backpacker, stay in the Tamil area because there is so much to do and so much to walk around there. So many temples, so many restaurants, bars, things to see, shops, all kinds of tourist trinkets you can buy, and it's a good place to stay. Our hotel was the Hotel Friends Home. It was located, again, in the Tamil area, and it was a really nice hotel. The front desk was so accommodating, so kind. They'd help you book a tour if you wanted. They changed money for us there. The morning breakfast was included, and it was amazing. The staff was so kind and caring. So we'd highly recommend that. They do still have, I think we had maybe two nights or storms and we had power outages. So we kind of, you know, it's no big deal. We were already in the room and we don't really need to watch TV anyways or anything. We're just there to sleep. So expect maybe a power outage or two. But that was a really nice hotel that we would suggest staying. What about safety in the Tamil area?
I felt very safe. I didn't have any issues.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt safe. There is, you know, we were walking through the Tamil area, past the bars. I think we were there about midnight in kind of dark alleys. And, you know, maybe if I was a single female walking by myself, I would be, you know, think twice. But I would say otherwise, it was relatively safe. We didn't really have any issues. Also, in the crowded markets, too, you want to make sure that, you know, you just have your bag held close to you so no one can bump into you and take your money or anything like that. But otherwise, I would say we felt quite safe. There is no Uber in town, so just know there's no other apps that we were able to find. So you will be either taking a taxi, and they're pretty much all run down old taxis, but their people were really nice. They were relatively good about bargaining for the fares, and they seemed to be quite honest. So instead of renting a car, which I would highly recommend not renting a car or even taking a scooter, I think that's a little bit too crazy within Tamil. Unless you're really getting out to the outside, into the country or going out of the city, just take a taxi or walk wherever you can within the city. Because it is a bikeable city. If you had a mountain bike even, that would be, I think, ideal. Or a bike with some gears. I think that would be excellent. I'm sure you can rent that if you look as well. There was quite a bit of nightlife in our area too. Lots of bars, lots of restaurants. And one thing we noticed was live music is a big thing there. Not so much DJs, not so much, you know, just music, but live music, cover bands, for example. A lot of cover bands from bad American songs. So we heard that coming out of a lot of the bars. In particular, we went to reggae bar. I was really excited when I thought, ooh, reggae music. I love reggae music. And we get there and it's a Maroon 5 cover band. I almost jumped off the second floor once I heard that, but I decided to finish my Gurkha as a, you know, that helped me tolerate the Maroon 5. Sorry, Maroon 5 fans, but the shopping in the area, did you do any shopping while you were there, Rachel?
Well, Dan loves street vendors, so as soon as we walked out of our hotel, I think he bought 4 shirts at the very first stand. You know, they were cool, though, Ganesha and several different Buddhist symbols and different things like that. He also got a very cool local hat that he wore maybe the rest of the trip.
Yeah, I'm actually local. Like, I'm pretty much local wherever I go. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I'm just local. So I really want to fit in. So I got a nice Buddha bro tank. I got probably 7 of them, and I got a local's hat. I think it's like a Tamil style hat. I'm not sure what you'd call it, but I got a lot of you know, thumbs up from the locals on it. So pretty much they accepted me as one of their own. So I was really excited about that. We did a lot of shopping. We did a lot of trinkets. I bought a what are those called?
A sound bowl.
A sound bowl. Yeah, sound bowl. So when you do, I do my yoga and my meditating, I can now, you know, take that little stick around this rim of the bowl. And it's like a, you know, it's a cool song. I'll get it out here in a minute and maybe we can play it for you. But so there's all kinds of cool stuff. I got a little statue of Buddha. Rachel, I'm sure, got 7 pairs of elephant pants that she didn't need. But, you know, all the essentials were taken care of. What surprises most about the city? Anything stand out for you?
It was so dirty. Not the actual street dirty, but so much pollution in the air. To cover your mouth with your scarf while you were driving. Most of the locals wear like a medical mask almost. There's just so much pollution in the air. It was terrible.
Yeah, the air is awful. Bring one of those masks if you can, like a medical mask. You really, or at least we had bandanas that we put over our mouth when you're doing some extensive walking. I've been to many a city, a big crowded city, in Beijing, New Delhi, and this was worse. I think it's just the dust. There's so much dust off these old roads that's put up in the air mixed with the smog, and it is bad. So bad. Actually, you know, you want to cough because you feel like you have this grit in your throat. So I've never experienced that before, but I did there. Now, what we did when we were in Kathmandu is we definitely tried to take it all in, everything. We had our Lonely Planet book and we were cruising around. We did all the main temples. We went to Durbar Square, which is the historic area in the downtown. We were like, well, let's see if we can maybe sneak in. And, well, you can't sneak in. It's actually, you have to pay for a ticket. Yeah, and the money is, it's good that you don't sneak in because the money goes to rebuilding it. And you'll notice that too. A lot of stuff is still crumbled. The hotel right next to our hotel was a pile of rubble. So you'll notice that when you're there, is you still have a lot of work to do to rebuild the city. So I believe we paid about $10 US for an entrance fee, and you'll get to Durbar Square, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And people will approach you, and if you don't have a guide or you're not sure what you're looking at, feel free to grab one of them, and about $10 to $15 to $20, depending on your. And you know, once you have that tour, you're gonna get a lot of good information for pretty cheap too. So our tour guide was really cool. We got him down to $10 for about a 2-hour tour. Thought that was a pretty good price. $10 to get in for me, and then $10 to have a personal tour guide for both of us. And a really nice guy. We had some things and we were wandering. We tried it on our own with our book. We said, no thanks, period. And it's supposed to bring you good luck if you're able to see her. And we happened to be fortunate enough. We waited and waited. And when she came out, you just heard everyone go, and she appeared in the window and stared and looked. And no one's to talk to her because she is a goddess and we're mere mortals. But it was a really neat experience. Did you like that?
I did. She doesn't come out every day, so we were lucky to see her. It's supposed to bring you good luck and good fortune if you see her.
Yeah, so that was my favorite temple. We saw like the old, not castle, but where the emperor, the king used to live down there, and that was really neat. And then we went down to Freak Street, and that's the name of where the old 60s hippies would hang out and smoke and just hang out. Has a little bit of remnants of the hippie hangouts, some cool bars, cafes, and we were able to grab a cold drink overlooking Durbar Square on the third floor. So a lot of the restaurants there will have a first floor, second floor, and third floor. Get up to the third floor and just sit outside on the rooftop, and you'll have some great views to check out. So highly recommend Durbar Square, getting a cool drink after all that walking. I know we did about 10 miles. After Durbar Square, we were, again, trying not to spend a lot of money. So we said, looked at a map, looked at our phone, saw the map there saying that Swayambhunath, and I'm pronouncing that wrong, but Swayambhunath was about a 45-minute walk for us from Durbar Square. You basically just follow along a canal, you'll cross a bridge, and then you're going to cut through basically a residential area. And you're able to walk there if you don't want to take a taxi. It's kind of neat too because you're getting away from the tourists. You're walking through the neighbors, the houses and their locals. We met some really fun little kids playing soccer, and we were able to kind of greet them. And I was able to use my awesome namaste and a couple of my words that I used, and they sure got a kick out of that. So once you get to Swayambhunath, you'll notice it because you see the stairs going up, and you also see a bunch of monkeys playing on the stairs. Rachel counted 365 steps, actually. So if you're getting your step count in, trying to get your Fitbit up to 10,000, this will really help you. It's $2 entrance fee, but it's well worth it. You'll pay when you get to the very top. But at the bottom, you'll also see a lot of locals just hanging out in the park and some monkeys and people just enjoying themselves. What did you think about the Swayambhunath temple?
Oh, it was just beautiful. And the walk up, I mean, it gets pretty steep there. Lots of people are stopping to take breathers along the way. They're selling sound bowls and prayer flags on the way up. So, of course, we had to stop and buy some of those. Lots of little kids, locals, sliding up and down the rails trying to ask you for money. I did have almost a near-death accident with one of the monkeys, though. I got a little bit too close to its baby up at the top, and Dan, I think, jumped away as one of the local guys came up and got the monkey away from me.
No, that's not true. I pooped my pants, and then I ran away. I didn't jump away. First off, monkeys are scary. Second of off, I've seen that movie Virus. I think it was called Virus. If they bite you, you could die. So I had to run, of course. But don't get close to the babies, that's for sure, because mamas don't like that. But they are everywhere. The monkeys are everywhere. Just give some distance for that. And hopefully you have someone braver than I with you who will protect you. But after that, it really was my favorite temple, I think, in all of Nepal that we saw. It's just, we were there for sunset, watching the sunset, just, you know, talking to the locals. They got all kind, it just feels like a spiritual experience up there. And I'm not, you know, religious, but just being up there, hearing the chanting that was going on from the monks, just a great experience. So I highly recommend Swayambhuta Temple, just outside of downtown. And on the way back again, it was dark at that point because we saw the sunset. So we were able to catch a taxi ride back for only about $3. He picked another passenger up along the way, but that was totally fine with us for only $3. Quick restaurant that we checked out, we wanted to try kind of the set meal. So we tried Mustang Takali Kitchen. It was really good. Lonely Planet also had it in their book as something they recommended. We got the vegetarian thali plate. It was cheap, delicious. We got to sit like locals on the floor on cushions. Made us feel super special, super authentic. And I was wearing my Nuwari style hat. So got a lot of compliments at dinners. You know, I'm just really blended. And I don't even know if Rachel is probably like, which one's Dan and which one's a local? She, you know, so did that happen or no?
Never, not one time.
No, okay. Well, it probably could have, though, if you really used your imagination. So after that, again, we checked out Reggae Bar. Wasn't that good because it was Maroon 5. But we knew we had to get up early the next day. We booked a Mount Everest flight. And they said to get there at 6 a.m. So we had to obviously get up about 4:30. So 4:15, 4:30 to make sure we get there on time. So we had to get home, get to bed, and we slept really well that night. Now, a quick thing. If you go to Kathmandu, we would highly recommend you do the Mount Everest flight. However, I would like to add that there is a high chance that you will have it canceled due to weather. Oftentimes, those clouds come in, and rather than get you all the way up there, and have you come all the way down without seeing anything, they'll just cancel it and put it off to the next day. So we got up, we got there at 6 a.m. No one showed up until, we got there about, they said to get there about, 5:30 even.
Yeah, and very early.
And one thing to note is they don't even show up till 6. So they'll tell you get there at 5:30 and the place is closed until 6. So the airport will finally open and you'll wait another hour. We waited an hour and they said we're going to delay it. Delayed an hour, and then delayed again another hour, and after about, by I think 8:39, they canceled it, and just, they're really great. They'll say, you want your money back, or come back the next day, and we were there one more day, so we tried it again. So, after that, we went off, and we went to try and find the palace where there was the king of Nepal had lived prior, and you probably, Prince Dipendra murdered his family there in 2001, and after that, they just kind of left it as is. And funnily enough, we talked to some locals, and they do not like the current prince. I guess he's the king now since he murdered his family. But one guy even told us, we don't even want a king anymore. There's no need for it, and that's kind of strange because they've always had a king. So you can't bring anything to the palace, but it is neat. It's a little kitschy, kind of feels like something out of the 70s and 80s, and I kind of. Gross if you're an animal lover, because there's those, you know, elephant feet tables, stuffed bears, lions rugs, things like that. And in the back, you'll actually see bullet holes if you look closely in the wall where he shot his whole family. So kind of a creepy scene, but kind of an interesting thing. I think it was only a few dollars, so it was worth it, since it was just that. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it was definitely very interesting to walk around, especially even outside in the garden and where he had the whole place torn down from where the murder occurred.
Yeah. So check that out. It's called Narayanhiti Palace, excuse me. And it's a museum as well. So check that out. Next, after that, we wanted to see one more for the day. It was Buddhanath Stupa. Buddhanath is famous too because they have the big prayer flags going all around it. It's the big white white temple. And we were able to take a taxi there, which is a little bit too far, and it started to sprinkle a little bit, so the roads were kind of muddy. So we got in a taxi, zipped right over there. It's a really neat temple, I would say. People are walking in a circle around it, and I think that's for good luck, if I'm not mistaken. And you'll see tons of people, maybe hundreds of people, walking around it in circles. And we were able to grab a really good, was it Nepalese food?
Yeah, we had some traditional Nepalese food with some momos that were vegetarian and an iced coffee, and kind of re-energized so we could continue on with the rest of the day.
Yeah, and I know too, when I was waiting for Rachel, she was buying more elephant pants or...
This time it was actually a scarf.
Oh,
it was
a scarf.
Scarf
number
with the
seven.
Om.
Very,
yeah, om symbol.
Very needed seventh scarf for the trip. So once she was shopping for that, and I'm always just waiting around for her. I saw an older man, and there's an elderly dog, street dog, and he stopped, and the guy had to be 85 himself, and he bent down and pulled out food from his pocket and made sure that this dog had food and patted him on his head, had him eat that snack, and gave him another one and patted him on his head. And then he went on his way. But just to see that act of kindness, I just remember that distinctly standing out and kind of showed me the compassion of these people. It was pretty amazing. So that was a really great temple. Buddhanath Stupa, really good. Great views. You can take some great pictures there. Highly recommend it. Get some lunch while you're there. Last on our list was Pashupatinath Temple. It was a little bit too far of a walk, so we were able to take a quick taxi over there. Tried to sneak in, not going to lie. But a ticket man spotted us, so we just paid. It was only a few dollars, and that's okay. However, on this one, if you're non-Hindu, you really can't see much inside the temple. I personally would not pay for it. Would you?
I would not, because you can walk around the side, and you can see some of the local ceremonies. At least that was happening the night that we were there, which was way better than actually just standing 10 feet away from the actual temple.
Yeah, so if you can, and then just go around to the back, in the very back, you'll just get to the river, and that's what I thought was fascinating, is the cremation ghats. I you know, something is on another level just seeing those. It was something I can't describe, but interesting. And you know, be respectful of it, just understand what you're looking at and what you're seeing, but I highly recommend it as something that was quite interesting. There's also a big ceremony going on that day where they were lighting things and putting candles and setting them on the river and playing music. And while walking around there, in the back area there on the other side of the river, there is gentlemen who basically sadhus, as you've known, they have dreadlocks and they have their face painted. And some of them live amongst these monuments back there and sleep inside of them. And they will bless you, and they expect a tip in return. But very interesting dress, very interesting culture they have. And it's worth, you know, stopping and saying hello to them. Maybe taking a picture of them and giving them a tip. But we hung out there for a good hour, just people watching. Just a great scene, highly recommend it. And again, can't emphasize how interesting the cremation ceremony was and how close you can get to that and how it just makes you see that life is, we all go back to the earth one way or the other. So neat experience. Again, the next morning we got up at 4:30 to try again for the flight, and it was canceled. We waited till about 9, and they finally pushed it back, and then luckily they canceled it. We met one girl there. She was going to take a flight to Lukla and fly from Kathmandu to Lukla, which is known as the most dangerous landing strip in the world, if I'm not mistaken. So she is pretty liquored up to make that trip, and I think it kept getting canceled as well for her. So, you know, if you have strict plans and if you're going by plane, be a little flexible because it just might get canceled. So, next thing we were going to was Pokhara, and for Pokhara we wanted to take a bus. We could have flown; it would have been about $100-$125. But for just $25, we were able to find a nice bus there. We recommended Green Line Tours. That's probably the most famous for tourists there. But for $25, we had a bus there. We had a buffet. Mm-hmm. We stopped for a buffet. And we had Wi-Fi. Now, did the Wi-Fi work?
It seemed to work towards the beginning of the trip, but later on, not so much. But the air conditioning lasted the entire ride.
Yeah, the air conditioning lasted the entire ride. you know, we left at 7:30, and it was estimated 5 hours we'd be pulling up in Pokhara. Now, as we mentioned earlier, if you're in a rush, you don't want to be in a rush there if you have to hurry somewhere, because this took 14 hours,
which is not typical for that. But again, as we mentioned earlier, it was the rainy season. They had had several landslides, and actually just a few days after we went, there were two buses that fell over the cliff because of a landslide.
Yeah, so I guess we can't complain. 4 hours versus being still alive was I'll take that. But I mean, we ran out of pictures to look at on our phone. Batteries were dying. I have to pee at least every hour, I feel like. So luckily, we would literally not move for 20 minutes, and I could get out. Everyone would go stretch your legs, go pee, and he'd call everyone in, and we'd move 10 feet, and we'd get back out and walk around. Some other cars were completely like laying on the side of the street, so 5 hours turned into 14 hours. So luckily, too, Green Line was nice, and we had the whole back row to ourselves, so we were nice and comfy at no point. Was it, you know, hot or sweaty in there too? So we didn't run out of gas. That was always good. And then we arrived in Pokhara. And when we were in Pokhara, that was, what time did we get there? Maybe 11 p.m.?
Yeah, it was very late.
Very late. And we stayed at Hotel, I believe it was Hotel Adam or Adam's House. And it was a really nice hotel, just basic, very basic, I guess I would say even, but he was very kind. Adam runs the front, he's the owner, and they had a really nice view at the top for where to have your breakfast. So it was a nice hotel. I wouldn't give it 5 stars, but if you're there and you want a cheap place to stay and you're not going to be there much, that would be a good one.
But honestly, he was such a nice guy. He came out and greeted us at breakfast, sat with us, told us some of the history of the area, and outside of the breakfast, just amazing views. It was beautiful.
Yeah, you're able to see Phewatal, Phewa, the lake, right outside. So that was really nice. We started the day off, though, with I think the highlight of the trip for me, which was we took we went to Avia Nepal. Is a flight company, and we were able to take the, what would you call those? Not hang gliders, but they had a little motor in the back, like a basically kind of like a lawnmower engine almost, and it was able to spin the blades, and next thing you know, you are up with just one other person flying and seeing the Himalayas in the background. So highly recommended. I know I was really scared at first, thinking a gust would just take us down, and luckily for us, no gusty days, but amazing, amazing views. And I can't, for someone who hates heights and who doesn't like flying, I love this part of the trip. It was great. It was amazing. One thing, too, we would give you a tip on that is we had our GoPro with us, and we wanted to GoPro a lot and take videos of it. However, they'll take an entire video of you from, they have a GoPro clip to the wing. So put your camera away, just enjoy it, and they'll give you an awesome video after that. And they pick you up from your hotel, they drop you off. They're very professional. At no point did they goof around. I mean, this is serious stuff. You're up, you know, 1,000 feet in the air with just a lawnmower engine. So it was pricey, about $115. But we were the only ones there. We departed at 8. We were back by about 9. And highly recommend the Avia Club Nepal. So definitely check that out. Did you enjoy that part?
I did. And it's actually called an ultralight flight. And I would highly recommend it. It was beautiful. The Annapurna mountain range just peaked the very top of the mountain out as we were gliding over it. And it was beautiful because as soon as we got back down on the ground, it was all cloudy. You couldn't even see the tip of the mountain anymore.
Yeah, so it was really good timing. I wanted to make sure that everything was safe. So I had Rachel go first, and I figured, well, you know, if she survives, then I can go. So I had Rachel go first. She survived, and then I gave it my best test. But it was really fun. It was really fun. It was one of the most fun things I've ever done. So definitely do that. If you're going to get high, that's the way to go. Am I right? Thank you. So after that, we did a hike. We went over to the Phewa Lake. I'm not sure, Phewa Lake, Phewa. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but we wanted to try and find a cheap route. You got to take the boat from one side of the lake to the other where you can start the hike to the Peace Pagoda. We were like, well, let's get the cheapest one. And I'm telling you, these guys have a racket because they would not budge. There's three different companies, and they all wouldn't budge on the price. They'd rather sit there and not make any money than just bargain with us. So we finally just took the cheapest one by, it was like 10 rupees cheaper, and we went over on the other side. It's by this time about 12:30 in the afternoon, and it was hot.
Oh, that, it was so hot. Getting across that lake into where the start of the hike was to get to the World Peace Pagoda, whew, so hot. Instantly just covered in sweat.
Yeah, it's one of the sweatiest times I've been. And it wasn't that the weather was so hot. It was just humid and the sun was so strong. So just be prepared with how you dress. I wore a cotton t-shirt and I wish I would have wore something more breathable because you will be covered in sweat. However, that hike is really good if you can hike to the World's Peace Pagoda. It is an awesome hike. It's easy. It's just really warm. So make sure you take a lot of water with you. But gorgeous views from the top. And you'll really, really enjoy it and think it's worth it. So do that. You're able to walk from there all the way down to Devi's Falls, which is this really powerful waterfall that, you know, they kind of have a... They don't kind of. They do have a fence around it because I think if you even got near it, that thing would take you down really quick and go through a cave with it. So that was worth it. We only paid a couple dollars to get through it. We did do that. There's caves right across the street that's in Lonely Planet. We were like, well, we're already here. Super bummed about it. Well, it's kind of boring, right?
It was, but it was because of the rainy season again. The waterfall was pulling things into the cave, and the water was just too strong, so they had parts of it cut off because it was all flooded.
Yeah, so I might want to skip that.
But it was about 50 cents to a dollar to get in, so it wasn't... I mean, if you're bored, it was something to do for sure.
Yeah, so after that, we went walked back to our hotel, and as we were walking back, you know, starting to get dark, so the live music was coming back out. And we wanted to see some Nepali dancing. And what we were able to find was some traditional Nepali dancing at this restaurant. And you'll probably see it at several restaurants. This was right near Hotel Adam. And for, you know, no markup in the meal, it was just a nice meal. And they danced while you had it. We got some Nepali food. And maybe for an hour. Now, the dancers were not exactly enthusiastic. They were hoping for some tips. So, but there was some tour groups there, and, you know, it lasted about an hour. So after that, there's tons of bars at that point going off. It's a very backpacker-friendly city, Pokhara, and I really liked it. I highly would recommend it. You can bike places. You could do all kinds of hikes if you got outside the city. Lots to do there. What did you think of Pokhara overall?
It was beautiful. I had no idea what to expect. And if I did it again, though, from Kathmandu, there is a... You can go rafting down the river and you can get there, which I think would be really, really cool to do.
Yeah, you could probably even raft there faster than you take one of those buses. Am I right?
You're definitely right about that.
No, so I would highly recommend that. That would actually be fun. So you'd stop maybe one night, you'd camp. We actually stopped for the buffet on Green Line Bus at this resort. It's like a middle of nowhere on the lake, and it was gorgeous. And I was like, dang, how could you stay here? So all kinds of hidden gems I'm sure you could find if you did some hiking and some rafting. And a lot of people were there to hike the Annapurna Range, and they would go from Pokhara. So lots of backpackers there. You'll meet a lot of cool people while you're there, I'm sure. So definitely try and visit that city. And last place we went to was Chittawan National Park. We had a safari booked, so we pre-booked that before we left. And then we, again, we had a tour. We were going to take the bus again, but we had heard horror stories, and we just experienced a 14-hour horror story. So to make our tour, we decided to just pay a taxi to drive us. And it was expensive. It was about $55, somewhere in there, to get us all the way there. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less, or maybe a little more, I should say. But, you know, it was worth it because 14 hours, I probably would have poked my eyes out and jumped out the window.
And actually, Adam, that runs the hotel, set it all up for us. We haggled a little bit, so we did get it down a little bit. And he agreed to leave when we wanted to leave, so we decided to leave at the crack of dawn. We left about 5:45 in the morning and set off so we would avoid some of the traffic from when the buses all leave around 7:30 or 8.
Yeah, he was already there when we walked outside. We were dependable, and I would highly recommend Hotel Adam because he can set up all that stuff with you with reputable people. You don't have to wonder and worry. So we're off, and boy, he got us there, and I want to say, you know, under the time that the Google Maps will tell you to be there. So just a little bit of traffic as you're going there. We're doing a little bit of road clearance from mudslides. But we were there, and we were checked into our next hotel, which was the Chittawan Jungle Safari Resort. So highly recommend that one. That was really nice. I felt like we had the entire resort to ourselves, and we probably did. I think we only saw one other couple there the entire time we were there. First thing we wanted to check out was see the elephants. We had heard that they do elephant baths. We went down to the elephant, to the river, and we saw the elephants, and it was pretty disgusting. They're just poking them with sticks, those sharp bull hooks. So they'll spray water out of their trunk, and people were standing on their heads to get their Instagram selfie. And, you know, I think that's pretty disgusting to me. And I don't know, I would highly find another way to interact with elephants if you can. There's a sanctuary there that you can actually go and see where they breed elephants. But if I were you, I'd just highly find another way to do it, because I just think that's a little bit exploitive and just kind of gross. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. We didn't participate in this. We did want to do the elephant breeding center. It sounded very awesome and that they treat them very well, but unfortunately they only have tours that will go there very, very early in the morning, which we came in later in the afternoon, and then again towards dinner time, which we had already had a tour booked.
So we, as soon as we walked from there, we went back to our hotel, got ready, sprayed about 1.1 gallons of bug spray on ourselves, as we had heard mosquitoes will eat you alive if you get into the Chitawan Forest. We joined our guide, who was also at the hotel. I think he was maybe one of the managers there or something, but he was also a tour guide. So he set off with him and his assistant. You have to go on with a group of at least two guides with you into the jungle when you go. You can't carry weapons, so he has a big wooden stick. Now you got to figure a wooden stick versus a rhinoceros there we saw. Was there lions? We didn't see any, but there's said to be in there bears. There's some bears.
Sloth bears,
which are quite dangerous, and all he has is a stick. So, but, well, you know, some would say I have the guns, two tickets to the gun show. Am I right? some of my jokes don't go over so well, but that's okay. We'll get back to the point here. But the point is we got on this canoe ride and it was really neat. We started off, it's just me, the guide, and the assistant, and Rachel, and we saw some alligators right away, right across where we started. There was a few alligators he pointed out. The famous kingfishers, if you're into the beers or the birds, we saw both of them on the trip. And we went down about 45 minutes on the creek where he pulled off onto just a side, and we just started our jungle safari. And it really is a jungle safari. I have to admit, it was. I felt like I was on a death march for a little bit there. What did you think of it? Describe the safari.
I don't know if I've ever been that hot in my life. It was so hot in Dubai, but this was on a whole other level because there's just no airflow in between all those trees and all the marsh and everything that's there in the jungle. It was extremely humid and there's leeches and all sorts of bugs, so you're trying to cover up, but it's definitely very hot.
Yeah, and I mean, literally you're walking through the mud. Like you're like, oh, well, let me avoid this puddle right here, and then 3 minutes later you're ankle deep. I mean, there's no avoiding it. Your feet are just soaked, your socks are just soaking wet, your ankles are covered in mud. And I'm more scared. I'm not going to lie. I was so scared of the leeches. They were just hanging off the branches, just looking for anything to cling to. So rhino wouldn't have bothered me at that point versus these leeches. I had a tank top on, which is not smart. And I had shorts on, which again was not smart. Rachel told me to do that, so that's why I did that. But she also had her shoulders exposed as well. But even with all of our sunscreen, I was probably as slippery and slimy as I don't know what slippery and slimy, but I was pretty slippery and slimy as something, and I still couldn't avoid all the leeches and everything. Also, the trees are being smacked back at you, so as the guide's walking, here come the branches smacking back at you and hitting you in the face. And you're another level of hot, let me just say that. Nothing will be clean, you'll feel so dirty, but you'll get out in the open road and it's just hot and sweaty and humid. But we were able to see some rhinoceros. We saw lots of birds. Did we see anything else on this one?
Lots of deer.
Deer, that's right.
And a lot of different types of deer, just a lot of deer in general.
Yeah, and it took about 2 hours. I might even say it was too long by the end. We met up, we went on a perch to look out over it, and there's other groups that kind of met up there. And I was ready to go back at that point. So we walked back a quicker way, and we were able to hop back in the canoe and go back. And as soon as we landed back in Chitawan, it started pouring rain. So it was perfect timing for that. Included in this package was a cultural dance show, the Taru, the local indigenous people. It was only $2 each, actually, included if you added on to our stay. And it was, I thought it was really interesting to see them dance. Did you like that?
I did. Even at the end of the show, the peacock in it, which is one of their birds that they're known for having there. They make a lot of things out of the feathers. He came and dropped the rose on my lap at the very end of the show.
Oh, that's special. He liked you. So that was really neat. I would highly recommend doing that. We were able to get some amazing street food for super cheap. I think we were in the off season, so there wasn't much too much nightlife going on there. And frankly, you're probably going to be too pooped from all of your touring around, and that was just so hot. That you'll probably want to take and, you know, go to bed early. We had a couple power outages too at this hotel, which means the AC goes out, which means you're going to sweat for a while, but super friendly hotel, super clean, and good food too. They had the food in. Like I said, we felt like we were the only ones there, so they treated us really, really well, and maybe paid $40 for two nights, so really cheap as well. Yeah, so that was our trip to Chitwan. The next morning we woke up at the crack of dawn. Meeting time was 5 a.m. in the hotel lobby for the 6 a.m. Jeep Safari. Picked us up in a Land Cruiser. It was me, Rachel, him from yesterday, the guide, and his spotter. So four total. That way they have two sets of eyes looking for stuff at all times. The guide was really, really knowledgeable, kind of shy, but if you asked him a question, he would give you the most thorough answer that he could. So we drove about 30 to 35 minutes to the jungle. And we really liked this, I think, because not only because we had AC, but we were started so early in the morning. We were able to see birds. We saw actually alligators from inside the Jeep, just looking out into the creek and into the water. And, you know, I think you never know. We saw the mounds where the sloth bears were just there. So, you know, you never get lucky. You never know when you get lucky. You could see some sloth bears as well. Highly recommend taking the Jeep tour. Did you enjoy that?
I did. We saw some wild boar and, again, a bunch of kingfisher, several different types of deer. We could see the alligators from the river over the side. And the sloth bears there. You should Google a picture if you don't know what they look like. They're kind of scary looking with their big sloth kind of claws. But they're nocturnal, so we couldn't see any of them. But you see tons of termite mounds where they eat the termites and just leave all the stuff behind.
Yeah, so definitely if you get a chance, do a safari while you're there. The cool thing about this one too for us and why we wanted to do this is that we were back at the hotel by maybe 9:30, something like that. We had breakfast in their lobby. It was a tasty breakfast, and we were able to make our way to the bus to get to India, and we wanted to get going on that. So it worked out perfect. So we were able to do the night safari tour, or excuse me, the afternoon safari tour, the Taru cultural show, and the morning Jeep safari all within 24 hours. So if you time it right, you can get all that in. Other than that, there's not a ton to do in the town. It's just really for the safaris. So some shopping, some trinkets, but everything is kind of based around the safari. So we will get to where we went next, which is India, and how we got there from Nepal, but we'll do that in another podcast. Let's just kind of sum this up. Would you go back to this country first?
I would definitely go back because I would like to go to Kathmandu and actually see the mountains and maybe even do that rafting tour down to Pokhara because that looked very, very cool.
Yeah. I would definitely go back as well. I would love to hike to Everest Base Camp one day, as well as maybe, or do the Annapurna circuit and go back to Pokhara because it just seemed like such a beautiful change from Kathmandu with all the dust and soot in the air. Such a beautiful outdoor city. So I would like to go back there as well. What was your favorite moment of the trip?
Oh, I don't even know. I think maybe hiking up to the Peace Pagoda once we got to the top, because it was very, very hot on the way up, but once you got to the top, it was just beautiful views still of the Annapurna Mountains and just gorgeous.
Yes, I would have to say mine was taking the Avia flight up into the sky. That was just so cool. Such a neat experience. The views from up there were something that, you know, I've never experienced before, so I'd highly recommend that. What about the most challenging aspect of this country?
I would say the pollution in Kathmandu. Just please bring a medical mask, because we could have definitely used one of those. At some points, you just felt like you were inhaling just straight up dirt.
Yeah, I would actually agree with that. It was, I would say the pollution, but I would also say the roads are so bad. I mean, we were sitting in the back seat and you're bouncing up and down because the roads are just so bad. Be prepared for it and give yourself some extra time. We were on a tight schedule to get to these things, which probably shouldn't have should have given a little more leeway, but we wanted to get there. So give yourself a little time because we noticed that the roads are just so bad. But overall, a great country. People were so kind, cheap, friendly, beautiful sights. I can't recommend it enough. Anything else?
I don't think so. Just make sure to get some Nepali chai tea while you're there, because that had to have been my favorite drink.
And get a Gurkha beer. That was quite tasty. Get some momos. Get a super cool Nuwari hat like me. Be a local. Basically, just blend it in. I was just one of the locals. I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, thanks for listening to I'm Not Lost Travel Podcast. For Dan and Rachel, thanks for listening.
Da shai shai.